Welcome to a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden age and the holidays. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up, a two-part command performance special from the Armed Forces Radio Service. This was heard exclusively overseas by our men and women during the Second World War. Part two coming up in just about an hour, and part one starts now, from Christmas Day 1944.
USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the servicemen and women of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week, till it's over there. Christmas greetings from the USA gang as the American entertainment industry joins the Armed Forces Radio Service to wind up its third consecutive year of broadcasting to you, men and women of the United Nations. With the exception of a few of your favorite stars who have not yet returned from overseas, we have with us tonight all the great names of Hollywood and a few from the San Fernando Valley, too. The studio is gaily decked with holly wreaths and mistletoe, and we're all set to dig down in your Christmas stocking, which is crammed full of comedians, sweets, and what sweets? Goodies and evening gowns, yeah. Toys, games, and puzzles, and music boxes all wound up with your favorite melodies. And first out of the sock is your master of ceremonies, comedian, pool player, and fur trapper, Bob Hope.
Thank you. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob, Christmas Command Performance Hope. Telling all you Japs and Nazis from Berlin to Sumatra, your chances are as slim as a half of Frank Sinatra. That'd be an egg with a bobby sock for a minute there. But you know, this year Christmas is being celebrated by young Americans in freezing weather, in hot weather, damp weather, foggy weather, and some of our servicemen are outside of California, too. Really, our men are scattered all over the world, and the Army has gone to a lot of trouble to make sure that they have a white Christmas wherever they are. On December 25th, all the cooks have orders to bleach the beans. Beans, that's G.I. caviar. And you know, it's a funny thing, but the men overseas don't like to receive Christmas cards. No, sir. They get suspicious now whenever they see anything that starts with greetings. But Christmas packages really make them happy. I won't say they were very anxious to get their presents last year, but when the sergeant came out with a mail and yelled, "Come and get it," between "come and get it," he got it. You, boy, you. That other tongue got in the way. One soldier received a beautiful sweater from his girl for Christmas, but there was only one trouble. She forgot to put armholes in it. He's now the only private in the European theater who salutes from the inside. Here we are. Of course, more than anything else, the soldiers would like Betty Grable for Christmas. The G.I.s know she's married to Harry James, but they figure that after the war, they're going to kill all the buglers anyway. At one camp, the bugler was so overcome with the Christmas spirit, he filled his bugle with Tom and Jerry's. The first time that he ever blew reveille and got W.C. Fields to enlist at the same time. But down in Hawaii, the soldiers couldn't get any Christmas trees for the holidays, so they just draped all the decorations around a hula girl's grass skirt. And it worked out swell, too. They've got the only Christmas tree in the world that can wiggle its tinsel. It's on the paper. I didn't think of it. I understand that one outfit in the Pacific ate a peacock for Christmas. A peacock, that's a turkey with service stripes. And you know, Crosby didn't order any turkey this year. He's planning on eating a stork. That's the end of the joke. If he's smart, he'd plan on eating Sinatra. But the last time I celebrated Christmas with the men, we had turkey for dinner. I don't know exactly what part of the turkey I got, but if you put a mustache on it, you could call it Adolf. But enough. Enough of this side-splitting mirth. Yo-ho. Men, Christmas wouldn't be complete without all the tinsel on the tree, the gay colored lights, and all the fixings. Well, we have in the studio tonight 34 members of one of the greatest rumba orchestras of all time. Yes, sir, X marks the spot where we find the maestro himself, Xavier Cugat. Well, welcome to this Christmas command performance, X.
It's good to be here. By the way, are you Bob Hope?
Yes, why? Well, what's that for?
I never laugh at you on the radio, but in person, you're so funny.
We both have an edge on the average Cocker Spaniel, old boy. We add little things, you know, after rehearsal. Well, personally, I like Guy Lombardo. What are you going to bump out, X?
Well, Merry X from us to you, man, by the way of Brazil.
Brazil. Meu Brasil brasileiro. Meu mulato in sonero. O cantate los meus
Thank you, X Cugat. That guy could make a Christmas tree throw a hip out of joint. And now, I'd like you to meet a man who is the greatest authority in the world on wrapping and mailing packages for Christmas, Professor Colonna. Yes, sir. Oh, Professor! Professor, come here!
Coming!
Christmas seals.
Hello. alone, I'm ashamed of you. You have no holiday spirit at all.
Oh, don't be silly, Hope. I know all about Christmas. I don't think I ever mentioned this before, Hope. You see, my mother and father were reindeer.
Reindeer? Then, Kelowna, how come you look like you do? What about your face?
You explain yours, then I'll explain mine.
Kelowna, I'll have your hide for this.
Okay, but I'm warning you. It's loose around the knees.
Professor, here it is Christmas. Tell me, where have you been all week?
Burlesque show.
Kelowna, Thanksgiving a burlesque show, Christmas a burlesque show, New Year's a burlesque show.
Great, I'll go with you.
Well, haven't you taken care of your gifts yet?
I certainly hope. I bought very expensive gifts for everyone. I wrapped them up and wrote to Professor Kelowna on the front and mailed them.
Listen, you moron, you mailed all those packages to yourself.
I did?
Yes.
He calls me a moron. but I love Christmas, Hope. 20 years ago, my mother gave me a present of a bicycle built for two, and I still ride it.
20 years ago, your mother gave you a present of a bicycle built for two. Who sits in the other seat?
Man from the finance company.
Well, tell me something about the presents you bought, Professor.
Well, I have an aunt who's always been very nice to me, so I bought her a bull.
Kelowna, why would your aunt want a bull?
Ask her. She's a cow.
Kelowna, it's absolutely impossible for a cow to be your aunt.
It is?
Yes.
Lie to me, will you?
Nice work, Brushmuss. During that... And now we depart from the lighter vein for a few minutes to bring you some really fine classical music. We were unable to secure the services of Sir Thomas Beecham's orchestra for this spot on our program, but we have with us his American counterpart. Gentlemen of the AEF, the BEF, and music lovers everywhere, here's Spike Jones and his City Slickers. Well, Merry Christmas, Spike.
Well, the same to you, Robert, but what's the idea of introducing me as the American Sir Thomas Beecham? I'm no great maestro. That's like me introducing you as a fine comedian.
I like it better on my own show. At least Skinny Ennis I can beat up.
Well, Bob... Bob, I just want to say thanks. Bob, I just want to say thanks to all you guys and gals on the continent for a swell time when we were over there. And to try and make your Christmas louder, in case you care for a loud Christmas, here's our version of Holiday for Strings.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Spike. That boy would have made a great plumber. Men, the mailman really has worn a pretty deep path to the door of our next guest, just delivering the letters you sent her. All year long, we've used up all the peachy adjectives we could think of to introduce her, so tonight I'd like to use an adverb. Adverb, I would, yes. Sounds like you're ready. Here she is, the delightfully, sweetly, gently Sims. Welcome, Jen.
Well, it's nice to be here, Bobbly. And it's nice to say hello to all you fellas out there. My love to every one of you, all the way from Adak, Alaska, to Aachen, Germany, and even beyond.
Even beyond? That sure takes a lot of loving, gal.
I believe in spreading it around, Bob.
You got it to spread. Yeah, that's not spreading, sister. That's pouring.
Pouring, smoring. Well, here goes a bucket full of command kisses to Corporal A. Swartz at APO 595. A V-mail hug to Hot Car Haynes at 726. And a tight hand squeeze for First Sergeant Tom Brophy at 713. The Fighting 1st, 3rd, and 9th Divisions have my heart, too. And to the men of Admiral Mark Mitcher's famed Task Force 58. Well, fellas, anytime you're in town, remember you got at least one date. But now, let me blanket the whole GI globe with a tune chosen by you fellas as a most wanted commodity this year and every other year since E first went to town. Amour, amour, amour.
Nature mi de la esperanza. Amor, amor, amor. Nature Dios para los dos, nature el alma. Sentir que tus besos se anidaron en mí, igual que palomas mensajeras de luz. Saber que mis besos se quedaron en ti, haciendo en tus labios la señal de la cruz. Amor, amor, amor. Nació de ti, nació de mí, de la esperanza. Amor, amor, amor. Nació de Dios, para los dos, nació de amor. Haciendo en tus labios la señal. fiore ti, da fiore mi, della speranza. Amor, 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 da fiore Dio, farò lo giorno, da fiore uomo.
And now command performance turns to,
One moment, my good man. I'd like to converse with you upon a matter of the utmost urgency. They thought I couldn't do it, but if I'm not too contraband...
Why, Jimmy Durante! Well...
aren't you Bob Hope? The Bob Hope?
That's right.
The Bob Hope who plays all the army camps?
That's it.
The Bob Hope who entertains at all the servicemen's canteens?
That's correct.
Got a cigarette?
Well, I only have one left.
I'll match your noses for him.
No, I don't like the odds. Look, Jimmy, don't tell me you came all the way down here just to bum a cigarette.
Ah, ne no, ma petite, c'est vous plaît. You note my command of English, or Italian, I mean.
That's fine, Italian.
Don't take me unaware. Shoot me when I'm ready.
Grab that pool ball while he's got it. Oh, go ahead, where were we?
Boys, he's talking to the photographer.
Let's get back to the type, huh?
En memo, ma petite, ma, si tu play.
Do it right.
You note my command of Italian, don't
That's
you?
That's fine Italian. You sound like Charles Boyer with a mouthful of spaghetti.
That wasn't in the script the last time I saw it.
I wish it had been out.
Well, gone from the ridiculous to the continuity, I've come... I have come here to make you a proposition.
Nope.
And you can't afford to turn it down. For a mere 12 hours of work, you'll collect a cool $4.
Say, you must want me pretty bad if you're outbidding my sponsor.
Precisely. I love that kind of carrying on.
And all you got to do is put on a Santa Claus outfit and talk to the kiddies in the department store toy shop.
Oh,
just trying to mix them up.
Yeah, I know. You're doing pretty good with yourself there. Haven't they got a regular Santa Claus?
Of a certain tude. And he's a person so sublime, so exalted, that I dare not mention his name in public.
Jimmy, it can't be...
Yes, Umbriaco.
Well, if Umbriaco is a regular Santa Claus, what do you want with me?
Oh, now we come to the crux of the matter.
Oh.
Umbriaco has been fired.
Oh, he was canned, eh?
Boy, I'll say he was. He could hardly walk.
Well, what did he do?
Well, he reports for work yesterday morning. Bob, don't butt in even with a yes from now on.
Go ahead, take it.
The manager dresses Umbriaco up and... The manager...
You'd have loved the third grade. Go ahead.
Just take it.
I'm just doing that for effect.
I know you.
You know, the manager dresses Umbriaco up and takes him up to the toy department. Then comes his first customer, a little girl with a governess. The manager says, take her on your lap. So he takes her on his lap. Immediately, the kid starts bawling.
What for?
She wanted to sit on his lap, too.
Durante, you're a character.
Yeah.
So Umbriaco lost the job and won the governess, eh?
Not quite. He made one more mistake. When the manager said he's through, he rips off his Santa Claus beard. The governess takes one look, and he loses her, too.
Phew. Well, Jimmy, I'd like to help, but I don't know anything about being a Santa Claus in the department store.
Why, there's nothing to it, Bob. Look, I'll show you. I'll be the Santa Claus, and you be the little boy who just came in the store, okay?
Okay, wait till I get in my red skeleton mood. I'll be right back.
Swell. Well, well, well. Good morning, little boy.
Oh, Doug. Good morning, Santa Claus.
Look, it don't have to be a kid from your family. It can be just any kid.
I see. Okay. Good morning, Santa Claus.
Well, good morning, little man. And what would you like more most for Christmas this year, little man?
Betty Grable.
That's ridiculous. What would a little boy do with Betty Grable?
Wait till he's a big boy.
Now, look, let's not get silly, will you, please? This little boy is only supposed to be 6 years old.
Oh, only 6 years old. Now, that's different.
Sure. Now, what would you like most for Christmas, little man?
Lana Turner.
Robert, I give up. I don't think of a man for the job. Major, 8 to the Oakley. Are you ready? Hit it. Now, secret my favorite diversion last night and feeling in the pink, I stepped into my plush upholstered hansom. Put my two footmen commanding the poop deck and my Arabian thieves going at a gentle trot, we approached the theater marquee. And what happens? The red carpet is rolled out. My two footmen descend from the poop deck. They open the door and I steps out. Looking up from the gutter, I said, who told you to remove the running board? Picking myself up and ignoring the stares of the hoi polloi, I makes myself gallantly into the diamond horseshoe, removing my top hat, my nylon gloves, my skunk muffler, and my patent leather goulashes with the neon buttons. I looks around. Mrs. Vance Schuyler is whispering to Mrs. Murray Hill. Mrs. Murray Hill is whispering to Mrs. Susquehanna. And what are they saying? Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Is it Superman? No, it's a bum. You see, a vicious rumor has been circulated just because I work in a saloon. They say I'm not fit to mingle in any other circle. That's ridiculous. Night causes decimus to hide part of me. You have yet to meet the Dr. Jerkle.
I'm Durante, the patron of the arts, an opera critic and a man of parts.
You know, last night I went to the opera. I loved it. All but one scene. That's where the 350-pound soprano sings to the baritone. She sings, take me in your arms and hold me close. Why, to hold her close, the bum would have to be curved like a banana. Those opera lovers all rave at Handel's Largo. Why, I've heard better music written by Umbriaco. Now, what I say may sound absurd, but believe me, it's true. I've seen every opera, and I'll name them for you. Tales of the Vienna Rose, Madame Buttermilk, the sextet from Leachy Nuts, and the quartet from Rigor Mortis. I could go on for days. I coach sopranos and tenors in their parts, 'cause I'm Durante, the patron of the arts. Now, just the other day, they held a meeting at the Metropolitan in the cellar. They says, Jimmy, we're in a hole. You gotta help us out. Stepping up on a soapbox left over from La Boheme, I said, gentlemen, let's analyze this. Now take Romeo and Juliet. Romeo has to leave Juliet. But does he say shoo-shoo, baby? No. In opera, he says, I have but a moment to spend with you. A moment, my dear, to spend with you. A moment to spend, a moment to spend, a moment, 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 a moment. He's got one moment to spend. He's taken 3 hours to tell her about it. That bum is making a federal case out of it. Then she says, I will give you a kiss, my love. A burning kiss upon the lips. A burning kiss, a kiss, a kiss. A kiss upon the lips. A burning kiss, a kiss, a kiss upon the lips. Upon the kiss, upon the lips. By the time he's ready to kiss her, the fire's out. And I said to the committee, there's only one way to save the opera. Get yourself new lyrics that have class and renown. Like Pistol Pack and Mama, lay that pistol down. They all gave thanks from the bottom of their hearts to Durante, the patron of the arts, a commissura. Durante, the patron of the arts.
Thank you very much, Jimmy Durante. Men, comes time in this Christmas festival for a word in seriousness. A word from a man who has played a vital part in the tremendous job of organizing the American war effort. He speaks especially to all the men and women in our Army, wherever they may be stationed. Again this Christmas, Command Performance brings you a message from the Honorable Henry L. Stimson, Secretary of War.
Men and women of the armed forces, at this Christmas season, the thoughts of the entire nation are with the troops. The candles which burn in the windows are beamed straight from the heart of America to the men and women in uniform. Wherever you are stationed, it is your Christmas that we hope to share. I have a very personal knowledge of your service and your sacrifice. I have been with you on distant fronts where your courage has overcome the fiercest resistance of the enemy. The pride which I feel in your valor has been deepened by the evidence of your humanity and your dignity in foreign lands. In liberated areas, I have seen the gratitude of people whom you have rescued from the oppression and misery engendered by a savage foe. This year, because of you, the meaning of Christmas has been restored to them. From millions of homes, the spirit of Christmas flows out to the posts and bases and battle lines where Americans serve throughout the world. From thousands of altars, the nation offers up its prayers for you in the midst of war. In sending you my warmest greetings, I express the admiration of a grateful nation for your courage and fortitude. Through you, the joy of Christmas will return once more to a world at peace.
Your Christmas party puts a little reverse English on the ball. That's B-A-L. We're cutting down on consonants this Christmas. And returns to front and center that king of the dum-dum-dum-dum-dum, the mighty mogul of the maracas, Xavier Cugat. Well, what's up your marimba, X?
Well, I would like to do a little song we had the pleasure of introducing. And so, with Luis del Campo doing the vocal honors, here is Babaloo.
Empezando la velorio, ay que le hacemos a Babalú, ay dame 17 velas y pa' ponerla en cruz. Ay dame un clavo de tabaja con mayengue, hay un carrito de aguardiente. Ay dame un poco de dinero mayengue, ay pa' que no te las pedir en que mi negra me quiera, que tenga dinero allí que no se muera. Ay, yo le quiero pedir a Babalú, hay una negra bimbona, ay, como tú, y que no tenga otro negro. Ay, pa' que no se muera gota.
Ay, babalúae, ay, babalúae,
ay, babalúae, ay, babalúae,
babalúae, babalúae.
Chango, ay, babalúae,
babalúae.
Babalu, hey, Baba, hey, Baba, hey, Babalu, hey, Babalu, hey, Babalu, hey.
Gang, even though this is Christmas Day, we'd like to turn back the clock to yesterday evening and take you over to Hollywood Boulevard for a little last-minute Christmas shopping. In other words, the storm before the lull. So here we go to Hollywood Boulevard in the department store, which might also be located on State Street in Chicago, Woodward Avenue in Detroit, Flagler Street in Miami, Market Street in San Francisco, or Main Street in thousands of towns you guys come from. Take it away, department store.
Pardon me, sir. My name is Jack Benny.
Jack Benny?
Yes. Are you the floor walker?
Well, what do you think I am?
That's beside the point. Are you the floor walker?
Where do you think I got these flat feet? At a duck farm?
Now, don't get fresh, young man. Where's the necktie counter?
Aisle 3 to your left, but I warn you, bones are being broken over there.
No worry, I can take a little shoving and pushing.
Well, you could have fooled me, Daddy.
If I wasn't afraid of getting my pocket picked, I'd take one hand out and punch you right in the nose. So long, dreamboat.
So long, you old tub.
Pardon me, sir. My name is Fred Allen.
Fred Allen?
Yes. Are you the floor walker?
Oh, if I was only a rattlesnake, I'd coil up and hiss right in your face.
Now hold your Cobra Chanel, Bright Eye. Are you the floor walker, or are you breaking that gardenia in for a friend?
I'm the floor walker, lily pad. You think I'd spend a minute in this madhouse if I wasn't getting $18 a week and my lingerie wholesale?
Well, look, if I...
Am I the floor walker? Of all the asinine interrogations, who do I look like, Tokyo Rose?
I don't care if you're the mother of the Mademoiselle from Armentieres. Just tell me where the necktie counter is.
Aisle 3, but if you expect to get through the mob, I'd suggest parachuting in.
Thank you. And where are the parachutes?
Sorry, only one question to a customer.
I'll look around and find one myself. Now, please, mister. Look, I saw this tie first, and it's mine. Let go! Madam, how much is this tie?
$3, including tax.
Oh. Oh, well, you can have it, mister. Say, madam, haven't you got anything, shall we say, cheaper?
Don't drag me in this. If you want something cheaper, here's something at $1.50.
$1.50 for that tie?
Yes, it's hand-sewn.
I don't care if Betsy Ross made it. It's too much. You see, I'm buying this tie for a friend of mine, Fred Allen.
Fred Allen? Oh, I heard him on the radio. Why didn't you just buy him a piece of rope and let him hang himself?
You mustn't talk that way. Even I wouldn't say that about Fred at Christmas time. You see, I'm Jack Benny.
You are?
Yep.
Why don't you,
buy a piece of rope too? I know. Look, never mind the wisecracks, please. I'd like to get a tie for Alan for, well, say, in the neighborhood of 75 cents.
Well, here's one for 59 cents. The new Nifty hand-painted model is advertised in the Hobo News.
Say, that's a beaut. I'll take it.
Okay, but the material is awful. It causes a rash on the chest.
Good. If Alan gets a rash on that hollow chest of his, it'll look like a fire in Laurel Canyon. No kidding. His chest is so hollow, when he breathes, there's an echo. I'll take that tie and put it in a real expensive box.
How much do you want to pay for the box?
Just put it in a bag.
I resent that.
Not you. I meant a paper bag.
I see. Say, isn't that Fred Allen over there?
Where? Yes, it is. He's heading this way. I'll bet that louse is going to buy me one of these cheap neckties. Listen, I'll tell you what, miss. Let me duck down behind the counter with you.
Okay, but no tricks.
At your age, are you silly? I just want to do a little spying.
Well, get your head down off the counter. People will buy anything these days.
All right, all right.
Yes, sir? What can I do for you?
I'd like to buy a tie for an old friend.
Well, here's a nice one for $3.
No, you see, this fella is more old than friend. Wait a minute, I got him. Say, that's just the tie I want. Your author was drafted, huh? Say, that's just the tie I want. That 59-center, the polka dot cheesecloth there.
Okay, but I must tell you, this material causes a rash on the chest.
Well, don't worry about it. The guy I'm giving this to hasn't got enough blood to break out in a rash. Wrap it up.
That's so.
Gee, this is a hot one, Mr. Allen. Not 2 minutes ago, I sold the same identical tie to... Ouch!
What is the matter... That's a point, the point that wasn't in the script here. What's the matter, miss? You jumped.
Well, you jumped, too, if someone just bit your ankle.
Oh.
Listen, Blue Eyes, that hurt.
Quiet. Hey, what's going on behind there? Oh, ho! So it's you, Benny. Hello, Freddy. What are you doing down there on the floor, Benny? Teaching the mice how to be rats? No, Freddy. I was tired from shopping, so I thought I'd lie down for a while.
Shopping, eh?
That's right.
Brother, you could shop from now until 1980 and still not demobilize your wallet.
You should talk. You're tighter than the hinges on the door of Inner Sanctum.
Now, don't cloud the issue. What are you doing looking at neckties? Don't you crochet your own anymore?
Well, to tell the truth, Freddy, between radio and pictures and managing the Jack Benny all-girl football team, I have a little time left for crocheting.
That softball team, isn't it? You changed
softball, it? I'm sorry, yes.
Say now.
The Jack Benny all-girl soft football team. I'll get them both in.
That's what you get for having your bifocals on top. You see, you have...
you put them on top so you can read all the comedy lines. I know. That's great. Say, I saw your team...
I got the bottom one so I can see what I'm whistling at.
Go out with little women, though. Say, I saw your...
We'll be here all night, you know.
No, that was Hope and Durante, not us. I saw your team play the other night, Jackie. Who was that shortstop? Her arms looked like buggy whips, and she had no calves in her legs.
That was me. My regular shortstop was home having a baby. By the way, Freddie, what are you doing at the necktie counter?
Well, I know several people with necks, so I thought I'd get them... I thought I'd get them something to rest their Adam's apples on.
Oh, well, personally, I don't see anything here that appeals to my good taste.
Oh, you don't, huh? Listen, Jackson, you took up my time, picked out a tie, so hand over the 59 cents.
Never mind.
And you bit my ankle.
Well, you can't charge me for that. I didn't like it.
Listen, Jack, did you buy one of those 59-cent dish rag foulards as a gift?
Oh, it's for a friend of mine who writes a lot. I thought he might like it for a pen wiper.
I wouldn't wipe my razor on one of those. Just... Just wrap up one for me, too, miss, just in case.
You know, Freddie, I've been wondering what to get you for Christmas. Believe me, I've combed every basement.
Oh, any little thing will do, Jackie. It's not the gift, after all. It's the spirit in which it's given.
That's right. You know, I like you, Fred.
Well, I like you, too, Jackie Wacky. And I enjoy your radio program.
You do?
Uh-huh. You know, most people fall asleep when you're broadcasting. But me, I stay awake. I don't care what people say, you're great.
Well, thanks, Fred. You know another thing, Freddie? I think you're wonderful in pictures.
Really?
Gee, with that face of yours and those bags under your eyes, what character parts you can play.
Really?
Certainly, but me, all I can be is a good-looking juvenile.
Oh, gross.
20 or 30 years, I'll be washed up. But you, with those bags and wrinkles, you can go on forever.
Oh,
you know, with those wrinkles, you look like a convertible with the top halfway down. You know?
Oh, you're just saying that, Jack.
No, I'm not. Why, you can play anything from the Hunchback of Notre Dame to Dracula's other wife. But I'm typed. All I can be is a perpetual pretty boy.
Now, Jackie, don't let your beauty depress you as it does everyone else. You are destined to be a great lover, and there's nothing you can do about it.
But I'd rather be like you, Fred, a character and a great wit. Gosh, what a kick I get out of those jokes you think of. You know, those ad-libs you pull.
Oh, they're really nothing.
I know, but does the public realize that? They think you're the top.
Well, what the public doesn't know won't hurt us, eh, Jackie? Why, if your fans could see you in the morning before Rochester assembles you, they'd run a mile.
2 miles. Say, Freddie, look, here's the music counter. I think I'll try this violin.
Gosh, that's,
Just 1 second. Wait till I play a little exercise.
Are you playing or tuning?
Yes, I will in just a second. Ma, what time is it?
Gosh, that's beautiful, Jackie, it says here.
Here, you, put that violin down. Who do you think you are, Yosha Heifetz?
Wait a minute. Why, well, listen, Heifetz. Wait a minute.
You got Durante's glasses on. You can't...
Heifetz is plenty worried about me, brother.
Heifetz wouldn't spit on you.
Oh, he wouldn't, eh? Well, he did, smarty. Off that page for anything.
Now, hold your temper, Jackie. And you, big boy, you're tired and overworked. This is Christmas Eve. You're just not in the mood, the proper festive mood.
Say, Fred, I've got an idea. Take that banjo on the counter. We'll play a duet and give this chap a taste of the Christmas spirit.
All right. Do you know by any chance a song called Jingle Bells?
Most of it, Freddie. Let's go.
All right. Now, wait a minute. We don't want to sound as though... Ready? That was a hangnail did that. I saw it. You ready?
Now,
Second chorus. Feel now.
Yes, how did you like our little number?
I may not be Santa Claus, boys, but watch me go up that chimney.
Well, we sure got a rise out of him, Jackie. Now I've got to be running along.
Me too. Oh, Freddie, I almost forgot. Here's a little gift. Now, don't open it until tomorrow.
Maybe not then. And here, Jackie's a little gift for you.
Gee, thanks. What a surprise.
Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas, Freddie.
Merry Christmas to you, Jackie.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, stinker.
Command performance on Tuned to Yesterday from Christmas Day 1944 on Armed Forces Radio. Part 2 of the program is next on Tuned to Yesterday following a news update. And if you can't stick around for that, this is Mark Levonier wishing you a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.